Hello and welcome. It's Jill Hutchison. We're talking about what do you really, really want? Now, this is something that I talk to my clients about all the time because people don't really know what they want. They know what they don't want, but they don't always know what they do want. So today I'm going to be talking about a number of things. One is why we struggle to decide what we really, really want. What are the factors involved with that? And there's quite a bit of programming and there's quite a bit to that. So I'll expand on that a bit later. I also go through how to decide what you really want and questions you need to ask to help you get really, really clear. And then after that, we're going to talk about actions so that you can take some actions to move towards what you really, really want. And if you're still confused at that point, there are actions that you can take to help you get really clear on what you want. This is all part of achieving the life that you really want, whether it's the life that you want or the business that you want. It's important that you create your environment so that it's what you want. What's the point of living life in a way that you don't want it? If you don't like your house or your car or your relationships or your business, then change them. You're the only one that can change them. So you can start right here and right now to decide exactly what you do want and move forward from there. So let's start with why we struggle to decide what we really, really want. And there are a number of factors in here. It sounds really bizarre when you start to ask what you really, really want. What do you really want? Because we think that we know what we want. We think society knows what we really want. And when I say society, there is this feeling that when you do goal setting or when you do any sort of goal reaching exercise, there's this expectation that you'll want a bigger house, bigger car, more money, better relationships, everything bigger, better, more. And that's not always the case. You know, we go through life and we have different phases. So in the early part of our years, we generally want bigger, more, faster. Whereas when we get to midlife crisis or when we get to halftime, as Bob Buford talks about it, or the shift, as Wayne Dyer talks about it, we get to the point where we think, I don't want bigger. I want smaller. I want a lock up and go so that I can go traveling. I want less furniture so that I don't have to worry about it, or I can literally lock up and go and go and do what I want. I'm free. So our needs change as we get older, and everybody gets older, yes. Your next birthday, you'd get older. But we don't have to age as we get older. And this is the thing, is that expectation of what society expects us to want as we get older. That's what trips us up sometimes. The other thing that trips us up is knowing what's actually on the menu. Have you ever gone to a restaurant and somebody says, what do you want? And you say, well, let me look at the menu first. Let's see what's available before I decide what I want. Now, in life, we kind of want to look at the menu to see what's available before we decide what we want. However, that's not the best way to do it. Then we get things that we think are available, and that's still not necessarily what we really want. I remember when my children were very little and we moved to Australia and food was a lot more expensive than South Africa. And they were at that stage where they didn't necessarily eat everything on the plate. So I knew that sharing something with them or sharing something amongst them was probably the better way to go. So whenever I looked at the menu, I would look to see something that would fit in with both my taste and their taste. And sometimes I'd compromise on mine thinking, well, maybe they'll actually finish it all and I'll get to have what I really want. And then when I went out to a restaurant, just my husband and I and no kids, I suddenly looked at the menu and for the first time in my life, I didn't actually know what I wanted to eat because I'd got into the habit of thinking first about what other people wanted to eat and what they would eat and what they would tolerate. And then I'd go with, yeah, okay, I can eat that too. Rather than saying, actually, I really feel like prawns or I really feel like some calamari or I really feel like a nice big piece of salmon with some vegetables, no potatoes, no chips, nothing else, just really vegetables with some protein. And that really made me think about goals, how sometimes we get so used to accommodating everybody else and having this tolerance, which is good. We need that tolerance and we need that accommodation sometimes. But when it comes to your goals, you can set goals that are just selfish goals, that are goals for you. You don't always have to take in consideration to other people. It is good to be considerate, yes, But think about what you really, really want. Because sometimes you'll find others really want that too, and they can come on the journey with you and they can help you, or they can give you tips as to how to achieve it. But if you're always going in this kind of lukewarm space of, yeah, I kind of want that, but you know, the others really want to do this, so we'll go with that. Let me tell you what happens to people who are always putting off what they want and always putting other people first, whether it's partner, whether it's kids, whether it's work colleagues, whether it's friends, whether it's family. It doesn't matter who it is. But if you're always putting off what you want and favoring other people, that builds a bit of a martyr syndrome. And I'm sure that you've seen people who love to be martyrs. They'll say, what do you really want? Oh, it doesn't matter. I'll have what you're having. I'll have what they're having. I'll do what they want to do. Now, if you do this too many times and you become that kind of martyr, there's this energy that's around it that's a little bit, it's not really fun to be around. Sorry to break it to you, but it's not fun to be around. There's this begrudging kind of attitude that comes out of that. And people around actually want you to say, this is what I want. They actually don't want that pressure and that energy that goes with, it's a heavy energy, and I'm trying to describe it, but they don't want to go with that whole thing of, well, I'll put my needs aside for you. Do you realize the sacrifices that I'm making? Nobody wants that energy around it. So cut it out. Don't do it anymore. Decide what you want. It doesn't mean to say that you have to do it right now or that you have to have it right now. Sometimes it's a 20-year plan. Sometimes it's a 2-year plan. Sometimes you can do it straight away. Sometimes it's easier to do than you actually thought. Sometimes it's cheaper. Sometimes it's more possible. Sometimes it's even the quickest route. You don't have to go and do a whole lot of other things in order to achieve it that you thought that you were. But the first point is to get really clear on what you want. So what are the other things that make you struggle to get clear on what you want? Well, I think it's some programming. If you've been raised to think that anything is possible, then you do think anything's possible and you tend to set goals that are in line with what you want. But if you've been raised thinking that it's going to be hard, that it's going to be difficult, that you're never going to get exactly what you want, then it's probably more difficult for you to decide. So whatever you think about your goals is probably quite true. Because if you think it's going to be hard to achieve, it probably will be. If you think it's going to be easy, it probably will be. Because your attitude determines how easy or how hard it's going to be based on what you think and what you expect. So your programming does play a big role. Those paradigms, those beliefs, plays a huge role in what you think that you can set. The other thing is feeling that you're worthy. Are you worthy to have whatever you want? Are you worthy of great relationships? Are you worthy of having the money that you think you want? Do you feel deserving, or do you feel that other people are more deserving of it? Well, let me tell you right now, you are worthy. You are worthy of anything that you desire. Each of us is unique. Do you think there's a reason why you want some things and other people want different things? Do you think there's a reason why what you want and what I want may be slightly different? It's because we're unique. And sometimes what we want is actually what God wants for us. Not always, but when you get clear on what you really, really want, that is the case. So why do I say what do you really, really want? Because if I said what do you want, often it's an ego response. Let me call it that for lack of a better word. What do you want? That's often the more car, bigger house, bigger things, more expensive things, more money to spend. It's not really what makes the soul happy. When you get clear on what you really, really, really want, sometimes I really, really want a holiday where I can park the vehicle, where all I feel is sand under my toes, where I can go swimming every day, where I don't have to worry about makeup or what clothes I'm wearing. I can simply put on a bikini and a sarong, and it doesn't matter if it's the same bikini and sarong every single day. And just go down to the water, go paddling, go windsurfing, go swimming, hang around with friends, do some fun things. That's what my soul wants. So what you really, really want is often what your soul wants. And when you're really honest with it, it's a bit like stripping away the layers. and getting clear on exactly what it is that you want. What do you want right now? What feels as if it's going to fulfill you? What feels as if it's going to recharge your batteries? What feels as if it's going to nurture you and be good for you? Because when you get clear on what you really, really want, not what you think you want, but what you really, really want, those things are often within your reach. Yes, I'll say that again. When you get clear on what you really, really want, those things are within your reach. Now, it's important when we're looking at why we struggle is to be real about what you really, really want. Be real about some of the challenges that you've had. Be real about some of the things that have happened that have made you change what you want. Now, I spoke about that shift, that halftime shift. And what happens during that time is we shift from going from wanting more and that ambition and that success to wanting more fulfillment, wanting more, to make more of a difference, wanting to contribute, wanting to really fill up our batteries and our souls and make a difference to other people in that way as well. So with that, we kind of thought we knew what we wanted in our 20s and 30s, but then it gets to a point where we go, hang on, what do I really, really want? I thought I wanted all these things, but now that I've got some of them, I've realized they're not what I really, really want. So when you've had a couple of years on this earth, you realize that some of the things you thought you wanted are actually not what you wanted. It was a bit of an illusion. Or you thought you'd be happy when you achieved them, and it turns out it doesn't add to your happiness at all. In fact, sometimes it's a burden. Sometimes a bigger house is more hassle than it's worth. Sometimes a bigger property of any description, maybe more hassle and worth. Maybe it gives you great joy. Maybe it just feels like a drain. Now, for each person, that's going to be different. I remember seeing Charles in a mastermind group that I was running in Perth when I first arrived in Perth, and he said to me, my goal is 52 properties. And I looked at him straight off and I said, that's a to-do list. That's not a goal for you. And I thought he was going to explode. I thought I'd said the wrong thing completely, because at that stage we didn't have any investment properties at all. And here I was telling this man with great investment property experience that 52 was simply a to-do list. But, you know, he contacted me the next day and we're now great friends. And he said, that was the best thing that you ever said to me. He said, because I don't want 52. He said, I've had 47 before and we slimmed down because I didn't want to have so many ever again. So he felt, you know, when he said it, he said he was kind of sitting on a pedestal. And I woke him up to reality very quickly. I still chuckle about that because it reminds me that what does sound like an impressive goal to other people is not necessarily the goal that you really, really want. So beware of the trap of setting impressive goals or saying that you want things that sound very impressive. Because sometimes they're not what you want, and sometimes you're not prepared to do what it takes to actually get there. So there's the thing, the crux of the matter is when you choose what you really, really want, you're prepared to go through the challenges, you're prepared to do what it takes to get there. When you pick something that you kind of think that you want, often at the first hurdle, you will turn around and give up. So you don't achieve that. And it always eludes you. It's a little bit like a mirage. As you get closer, it feels like it's getting more and more distance. Mainly because of the passion and the energy that you put into it. If you don't really, really want it, then it gets a bit hard. You can't be bothered. It's too hard. It's not worth it. It's not worth the sacrifice that you need to make to actually get it. So that's why we struggle. So how do we decide then on what we really, really, really want? How do you decide? How do you get clear? Well, firstly, it's to make the decision that you will decide. So make a decision to make a decision. Sometimes we decide that we are unclear, and that is a decision itself. That's already deciding that we're not going to get clear, therefore we're not going to achieve it. That's choosing not to get clear. So let's set the intention that you do want to really, really get clear for once in your life. Or maybe you've been clear before and it's just now that you're not clear. So decide how are you going to know once you hit on what you really, really want. Now, this is a little bit like decision making is a little bit like a mental muscle. And we need to get into the habit of actually using it a little bit more. So if you go back to the menu example that I spoke about, if you, you know, with the little children, I was picking things off the menu that fitted with them, not that I really desired. I would tolerate them, but they weren't necessarily the ones that I loved. When we're used to choosing off a small menu, then we tend to choose off a small menu. We tend to only think that's what's available. When we realize there's a bigger menu, or in fact we could order anything we wanted at all, we didn't even have to work on a menu, that's when suddenly we get this almost block going, oh my gosh, anything's possible. Wow, what do I really, really want? So it's as if everything kind of opens up and it's a bit overwhelming. There's too many choices to decide exactly what you really, really want. It's easier if somebody said to you, right, there's three things. Pick one of these three things. That's often a lot easier because you can pick one and that's it. Whereas when there's this wide open, sometimes we go, I don't know what I really, really want. It's a little bit like walking along and seeing the scenery as it is. And then you climb up a high staircase and suddenly you can see a lot further and a lot wider and you can see things you couldn't see before. It has this wide open expanse. And if you were to stand up there going, wow, what do I want to explore next? You almost don't know because there are too many options. I guess it's like going to a theme park or going somewhere you've never been before and being overwhelmed with all the choices of where do we go next? What do we do first? It can be a little bit daunting. So in terms of your deciding, there are a couple of questions that you can ask yourself. And there is a worksheet on this, so have a look at the worksheet on the website and you can download it and fill it in for yourself because there are a lot of questions. And I'm going to go through a couple here for you now. There are more on the worksheet, but I'm going to go through a couple. I'm going to start with a question about your wardrobe. If you were living the life that you truly desired, what would your wardrobe look like? Now, I asked this question when I was doing the Goal Achiever program, which is Bob Proctor's program, while I was running it in Perth. And one of the men sitting in the group, he said, I'm not into designer suits and stuff like that. Why do I have to write out what my ideal wardrobe would look like? So I laughed and I said, well, if you were living the life that you would want to live, what clothes would you have in your cupboard? What kind of shoes would you have? What kind of suits would you have? Would you have suits? And he said to me, well, in my line of work right now, I have to wear a suit and a tie every single day. And so if I'm living my ideal life, there will be no suits and no ties. It will tell me that I've achieved my goals and I don't need to wear a suit and a tie because I don't need to go to work. I can actually put on shorts and thongs and a singlet and go down to the beach. So I said, well, what have you got in your ideal wardrobe then? He said, maybe 3 or 4 pairs of shorts. I wouldn't need many. He said, a couple of t-shirts, maybe a jumper or two. And in fact, he said, I'll have some winter gear because I quite enjoy skiing. So I would like some really warm winter gear as well. And I would have, he said, I wouldn't have shoes. Oh, maybe a couple of pairs of thongs. Yeah, maybe a couple of pairs of thongs. And maybe, you know, those boots for when it gets really, really cold. And maybe a couple of hats. He said, that's pretty much about it. He said, I wouldn't need a very big wardrobe because that would be pretty much what I want. So what is in your ideal wardrobe? Do you like fancy clothes? Do you like silk? Do you like cotton? Do you like beach wear? Do you love the cold weather? Do you like the warm weather? What sort of clothes do you love wearing? If you could choose any clothes to hang in your wardrobe, what clothes would you put there? Some of my favorite pieces have been silk. Some of them have been cotton. Bamboo is something that I really like. As long as I can find something that's fairly good quality bamboo, that seems to be a challenge. But I love the feeling of good fabrics. I also love bright fabrics. I love bright shirts. I love bright jackets. So what's in your wardrobe? What sort of colors do you like? What sort of activities do you like? Do you want deep sea diving equipment in your wardrobe? Do you want surfing equipment? Do you want snow skiing equipment? What sort of things do you want in your cupboard, in your wardrobe, that you will be using on a regular basis? Now, when we get to this level of detail, it's quite fun because you can play around a little bit with it. And you can play around with what you really want. And having that detail forces you to think about, hang on, What do I really, really want? Now, you may discover through this process that parts of your life are already exactly what you want. I suddenly realize that parts of my life are exactly the life that I created. Some have still got a way to go, but some parts are exactly the way that I want them. So what do you really, really want? What parts of your life do you want to change? What parts of your life or your wardrobe do you want to make exactly what you want? Another question that you can ask is, what do I dislike about my life right now? What do I dislike about my house? What do I dislike about my car? What do I dislike about my business or my relationships? Now, I don't normally focus on what you don't want because everybody knows what they don't want. But maybe that's a place that you can start from. Maybe this is a more comfortable place for you to start, is what you don't want. Write down everything that you don't really like and see if you can either change it or change it by renovating or change it, you know, change parts of it, or whether you need to have a whole new house or a whole new car or a whole new relationship. That's up to you, what you really, really, really want. Now, remember that if you only focus on what you don't want, you're going to get more of what you don't want. So make this little exercise a quick, short exercise. Write down what you don't want and then write down exactly what the opposite of that is. So one of the things that I don't like right now is the fact that my bedroom doesn't get morning sun. In fact, in winter, it doesn't get sun at all. In summer, it gets sun from about 4 p.m. So on my wish list is a bedroom that gets sun shining through the window onto my bed in the morning. And I've had a room like this before, and it was really, really lovely to wake up with the sun on my face. And on the weekends, if I felt like sleeping in, I could lie there and have the sun on me while I was still in bed. So that's one of the things that I really, really want. So my next house will have the sun coming in into my bedroom, which means it needs to be east-facing. And we'll enjoy that very much. There are a couple of other things I have on my list too. What do you like? Do you want your room facing the sun? Do you want your room facing a view? I also love sea views, so part of my house will be having a sea view, which is a bit of a challenge here in Western Australia because the sun rises in the east and the sun sets over the sea in the west. So my house is going to have windows on both sides. I'm going to have a really good view of both ends. When you get clear on what you really, really want, it simplifies your life a little bit. It stops you going off on wild goose chases thinking that you want that thing. Because if it doesn't fit your criteria, then you don't actually want it. Other people may want it. It may seem like a great bargain or a great thing to have. But if it's not what you want, it's pointless spending energy or time going on that. Another question you could ask is, how do I wish things to be different? So you've written down what you don't want and what you dislike. How would you like it to be different? Would you like it to change it completely? Would you like to have a whole new activity or a whole new hobby or a whole new set of income? What would you really, really, really like? What's your biggest pain point at the moment? That gives you a clue as to where you can start looking. So look at your biggest pain point at the moment and see what it is. Is it health? Is it finances? Is it your house? Is it your relationships? Is it your children? Is it your spouse? Is it your parents? Is it your family? Write down what the opposite of that problem is, because the opposite of that problem may be what you're looking for. Sometimes when you write down the opposite of that problem, you realize you don't want that either. Then you have a problem. So write down what you do want. Here's my problem. This is what I don't want. What do you want? Write that down. And it may take a couple of turns before you settle on exactly what you want. So it's important to be kind to yourself and realize that maybe you won't decide exactly right now, this minute, what you do want, but at least you'll get one step closer. You'll decide what you think you want, and when you start taking actions, you'll see if that gives you the results that you want. Because if it doesn't give you the results that you want, then that's probably not what you really, really wanted. Or the plan that you had is not sound. You didn't have the right ideas or you didn't have the right actions to take to achieve that. So we've covered why we struggle. We've covered how to decide on what you really, really want. And we've also covered questions to ask yourself. So now I'm going to cover some of the other aspects of this. So my model for any decision-making process is a four-step one, and it's A, B, C, D backwards. So we start with the D, then we go to the C, then we go to B and A. The D stands for decide. So if you have a piece of paper in front of you, write decide at the top of your piece of paper in the middle. The next step, halfway around at around 2 o'clock, is C for connect. The next step, around about 4 o'clock, is B for believe. And then act is around about 7 o'clock, close to the bottom. After act, we need to review. So write review in the top left-hand corner of your paper. Underneath review, write gratitude. Review with gratitude. Because it's really important that we bring gratitude into this process. So let's go to decide. Let's say that you decide you want a new house. That's what you really, really want. So the decision is that you want a new house. Let's say you can't afford it right now, or you think you can't afford it. So you don't have money in the bank simply to rush out and go and get exactly what you want. So this is where most people have this dilemma. This is what I want, but I don't have the money or the funds or the time or whatever resources to get it. That's okay. It doesn't matter that you don't have it right now, as long as you're prepared to work towards it. So the two questions that you need to ask is, am I willing and am I able? Am I willing to do what it takes to earn the money to get that new house? Am I willing to do what it takes to become the athlete? Am I willing to do what it takes to walk 100 kilometers? Am I willing to do what it takes to build a really great relationship? That's quite a big question, that. We may want a different relationship, but we may not be prepared to put in the energy to change it. That hurts, doesn't it? When you hear truth like that. We all want better relationships, but we don't always want to put the energy into it. I always thought I wanted a huge big family, but I didn't want to be the mother of them. I think huge families are a great idea, but I didn't want to take responsibility for all those people. So we have 3 children, and I love that. I'm glad that we don't have more, but I'm also glad that we have 3, because there's a wonderful dynamic to that. So are you willing to do what it takes to get what you want? If you're looking for a new partner, are you the person that will attract you? Does your personality, is that exactly what you want it to be to attract the right person for you? Or are you going to attract somebody that doesn't fit with the person that you want? If you're looking to buy a vehicle or a car or, a house, then the question of, am I willing to do what it takes? And am I able? So if we say that we want a house in 6 months, well, we may not be able to earn the money that we need to get the deposit, to get the loan, or whatever, however you want to work it, in that 6 month period. But if we set a 6 year period, that might be a good goal for us. So the biggest mistake people make when they decide what they really, really want is they look to see what they think they can have instantly. They're looking for microwave results. So what do I really, really want? If I decide I want a house, why doesn't it materialize tomorrow? Why don't I have it in a month's time? Well, we don't understand how long goals can take. There's this law of gender, or the law of incubation. What's it? Sorry, I'm thinking of the right word. It'll come to me. Gestation, the law of gestation. So we know that the gestation period for a human baby is around about 9 months. We know that the gestation period for rabbits, I think, is a couple of days or a couple of weeks. We know that the gestation period for an elephant is closer to 2 years. So different seeds have longer time that they need to germinate and grow to produce the thing that they're growing. So our goals all have different kind of periods that the seeds need to grow. Some of our goals we can set today and achieve tomorrow. Some of our goals we can set today and achieve in 20 years. Again, are you willing and able to wait that long to achieve a goal that you really, really, really want? Now, the chances are, if you're not that passionate about it, you'll give up and go, oh, it's just going to take too long. I'm not interested in that. I don't really want it that badly. So decide how badly you do want it and how long you're prepared to wait before it comes true. There's the Chinese bamboo tree that in the first 6 years barely grows above ground. It does all the growing below ground. And yet in the 7th year, it shoots up something like 6 feet. So there was nothing happening for 6 years. And in the 7th year, all of a sudden, all this growth. Goals are a little bit like that. We often have to put in some background energy and some background work before we see it come to fruition. I was at one of my clients' events the other day, and for several months she's been working on this event. So all the work, no results. And then all of a sudden, in one day, all the results come through. Any event is like that. Most goals are like that. You can put a bit of energy in. Weight loss is a little bit like that. You do the preparation, you do the food, you do the exercise, nothing's happening, and all of a sudden, people notice. So months can go by and nothing seems to happen. There's an example in Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill where he talks about months went by. Months went by and nothing happened. So it's important not to give up when months go by and it feels like nothing happens. You need to take the right actions to make sure that you are working in the right direction of your dreams before evaluating whether this dream is actually coming true or not, whether this is what you really, really want. Let's get back to the example of the house and deciding that you want a house but you can't afford it. So the first question is to say, am I willing and able to do what it takes to get that house? Now, the next question is then to look and say, do I need the house that I really, really want? Do I want it now, or am I prepared to wait for 10 years? Do I want my perfect house, or am I happy to settle for something that has some of those attributes but not all of them? So this is where you need to look at the list of things that you want for a house, for example, and prioritize. What is the most important aspect of your house? Now, when we were looking for the house several years ago, we didn't have a house at the time. We had just moved to Perth, and my husband actually didn't have a job because the mine he'd been working for was closed. So 2,000 people had lost their jobs. So he didn't have an income. My business was just getting started, so there was no income there. And I realized at that time that our dream house was not the one that we were looking for right now due to circumstances. And things happen, and this may happen to you at some point where you realize your dream experience is not one that you're looking for right now. It's okay to pull back a little bit and have something in the interim. So I got clear on what I really wanted for a house. And that was that I had space near the front door that I could turn into an office, a professional office, so that I could coach people at my convenience. I also wanted something that was private, that people could come and share exactly what they wanted to share, that they could share plans for their business, plans for their relationship, and open up without other people being able to hear that. So I didn't want a shared space that I was working in. I wanted a private office. I also wanted space for each of my children. We have three children, so we needed four bedrooms. We needed two bathrooms. We needed it to be in a quiet street because my kids were little at the time, so I wanted them to be able to play on the front lawn without worrying about whether they're running into the traffic. Most important of all was that it was a welcoming house where I could invite family, friends, and clients. I wanted a little bit of an entertainment space that I could bring people in. So you'll note on this list, I did not have a perfect kitchen. I did not have brand new bathrooms. It didn't need to be fancy. It didn't need to be particularly beautiful, as long as it had this nice energy that we could actually invite people in. So that's exactly what we got. And it was really useful having that list because it helped me screen through houses that were not suitable. It also helped me tell people what I wanted, and it helped them to help me find the ideal property that I was looking for. So when you get clear on what you really, really want, it saves a lot of time, it saves energy, it saves heartache. It saves trying to make decisions over things that you're not really clear on. When you've got a tick list, a list that you can tick items off on, does it fit this criteria? Does it fit that criteria? It makes a huge difference. This comes down to working who you want to work with and partnerships and business relationships and investments. When you're clear what you really, really, really want, you don't need to get caught on bright, shiny objects. You don't need to take the wrong turn. You don't need to go and work with people that don't fit with your criteria. Knowing what you really, really want saves time, it saves money, it saves energy, it saves a lot of heartache. Now that I'm clear on what I really, really want, based on some experiences that I've had before, I know that the next couple of decisions about finances, investments, relationships, business partnerships run much smoother because of that clarity. Because I have a list. I have money rules. I have my list of criteria when I work with people. And it doesn't matter whether they're suppliers or whether they're clients. I have the same list. I'm really clear on what I really, really want. Much, much easier. Think about it this way. If you want to buy a gift for somebody, and they have a list that they would really, really like, and you can pick something off that list, isn't that a lot easier than going to the shops and thinking, oh, I wonder what they want. I really wonder what they want. Sometimes it's fun to decide what you think they'd want, but it can be a lot easier if you've got a, if you're given a list. So if you're clear on what you really, really want, do you think it'll help those around you to help you get what you really, really want? I think it might. So that's all for this audio. I'm going to be doing some more. So keep an eye on this space and you can have some more. But in the meantime, enjoy the rest of your week and I'll speak to you again soon.